Welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take your sources, could be articles, research, even your own notes, and we pull out the really important bits of knowledge. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something, well, really foundational, but also incredibly powerful for anyone using English.
Yeah, the basic building blocks.
Exactly, the core architecture of English sentences.
That's right. And our mission for you today really is to sort of decode the single most common pattern. The crucial one.
The one that pops up in all the material you sent over.
Precisely. And it's not just about definitions, is it? It's more about understanding why this structure works, why it's so vital for, you know, getting information quickly and communicating really clearly.
Okay, right. Let's unpack this then. We are kind of zeroing in on English sentence structure at what people often call an A2 level.
Yeah, but don't let that label fool you.
No, definitely not. It's not basic in a simplistic way. Mastering this this fundamental pattern, it's like a direct shortcut to really getting English.
And becoming much better informed as a result.
Totally. So you're about to find out the three key parts, the essential components that make up pretty much every positive English sentence.
And crucially, why their order, their arrangement, is so, well, surprisingly fixed.
Which is interesting in itself.
It really is. And what's insightful, looking at your sources, is understanding why English leans so heavily on this specific order.
Unlike a lot of other languages, right?
Exactly. So grasping this isn't just, oh, I know a grammar rule.
Yeah.
It's more like recognizing a core design principle of the language.
Okay.
This consistent pattern. Subject plus verb plus object. That's the bedrock we're talking about.
Right. So let's nail down what these power players actually are. Let's start with the subject.
Okay.
That's the who or what doing the action in the sentence, the performer.
Precisely. Think of it as the doer. That's a good way to put it.
Doer. Got it.
And then naturally comes the verb.
The action word.
The action word itself. Yeah.
Okay.
It describes what our doers, well, doing. It's the engine, really.
Yeah.
Propels the meaning forward. Your notes highlight that nicely.
Right. The engine. Okay. Doer, action, and then the third piece.
The object.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part that receives the action of that verb.
Ah. So it's what the subject is acting on or what's affected by the action.
You got it. So you have this chain.
Yep.
The doer, the action, and the receiver.
Simple but powerful.
Very. Let's look at an example straight from your material. How about Maria drinks coffee?
Okay. Maria drinks coffee.
So here, Maria, she's our doer, right? The subject.
Right.
Drinks, that's clearly the action, the verb,
mm-hmm.
and coffee. Well, that's what's receiving the action. It's what Maria is drinking. So the object.
Subject, verb, object. Maria drinks coffee. Simple enough.
And the really remarkable thing, and your sources stress this again and again, is the order.
Yes, I saw that quote. Remember, subject comes first, then verb, then object.
Mm-hmm.
This order almost never changes in positive sentences. That consistency. It is quite striking, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, that unwavering consistency, it's actually a key to English's clarity.
Yeah.
Its efficiency.
How so?
Well, think about another example from your notes.
Right.
My sister reads books every evening.
Okay.
You've got extra details there, every evening. But that core SVO, it's still untouched. My sister, subject.
Right.
Reads, verb.
Mm-hmm.
Books, object. That core structure, it's like this resilient skeleton. You can add more details, build richer meaning, but the skeleton stays put.
And your sources really emphasize that this applies across almost all positive English sentences.
Exactly. It's the foundation.
And you see it everywhere. Like the teacher explains grammar rules.
Perfect. Teacher subject explains verb. Grammar rules object.
Or children play games after school.
Yep. Children subject, play verb.
Yeah.
Games object. Your material really hammers home how this SVO structure is just fundamental. It's like a universal decoder for basic English communication.
What's brilliant, then, is that you can immediately use this.
Right.
If you're describing, I don't know, John's day, you'd naturally say John plays basketball. You wouldn't think twice.
Or talking about your dad. Dad reads the newspaper.
Yeah.
You're already doing it. Instinctively using that subject verb object pattern.
So it's less about memorizing rules and more about seeing the underlying logic, the thing that makes English understandable.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
So when you encounter any positive English sentence now, the immediate questions to ask yourself, like the material suggests, are who or what is doing the action? That's your subject. What is the action? That's the verb. And what's receiving it?
The object.
Exactly. And the answers will almost always line up in that specific order. Subject, verb, object.
Okay, so let's sum this up. What's the immediate takeaway here from looking at your sources?
Well, the big one is you've just locked down the absolute bedrock structure for positive English sentences. Subject plus verb plus object, SVO.
It plus that.
Pretty much. And just recognizing that pattern, the doer, then the action, then the receiver, always in that sequence, that's the real unlock.
Like in the examples, Maria drinks coffee, my sister reads books. It's consistent.
Exactly. That's the core engine, as your material shows, powering most of what you'll read and hear in English.
So you can now take this simple, clear pattern and just apply it. You can use it to talk about your daily life or even start framing more complex ideas.
Knowing you're building on the most stable foundation the language offers for these kinds of sentences.
It really feels like a direct path to clearer communication for you, the listener.
It does. But, you know, this raises an interesting point, a question, really.
Okay. What's that?
Well, if this specific subject-verb-object order is so incredibly consistent, so reliable in positive statements,
yeah.
What do you think might happen to that order when we start forming different types of sentences?
Ah, like questions or negative statements.
Exactly. Does that SVO blueprint suddenly shift? Or does it maybe hold firm in ways we don't expect?
That is a fascinating question to think about. Something to ponder.
Definitely something to consider next.
For now, though, congratulations on mastering this core insight. Really start listening for it, reading for it, this SVO pattern. Honestly, it's everywhere once you know what you're looking for.